You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA, news and commentary.
Feb 18, 2022, we are live streaming at Larry Connors, USA YouTube channel. This word coming out, as we'd mentioned earlier, President Biden will be giving an update this afternoon. That's the way they're now classifying it. An update on diplomatic and de-escalation efforts. Earlier this week, he had said an invasion of Ukraine could happen, quote, within the next several days. They apparently were referring to a new, what they called a bleak U.S. intel assessment indicating that Russia continues preparations to invade. Ukrainian Minister Zelensky said, it will happen Wednesday. I've been told it will be Wednesday. This is Friday. It hasn't happened yet. Now, when Biden speaks later today, it will be 3 o'clock Central Time. It will be 11 o'clock at night in Ukraine. Just giving you that, just so you can keep things in perspective. The U.S. Secretary of State warning the U.N. that Russia is planning to manufacture a justification for an attack. So today, we did have some kind of car explosion in one part of Ukraine. And see, they're saying, see, that's it. That's what they were going to use as a reason to run into Ukraine. Nobody was killed. Don't know who did it. Don't know why it exploded. Probably was a bomb of some type. But that is in a region where separatists inside Ukraine who want to go back to Russia are actively engaging Ukrainian forces from time to time anyway. Oh, and yes, to bring you up to speed, as we mentioned in the last hour, an email coming in to the program. U.S. Vice President Kamala Harris is attending the Munich Security Conference, having chocolate chip cookies, some ice cream, and, oh, I'm sorry, it's not here, but I assume she's doing something. She's expected to meet with Ukraine's president. Why would they say she's at the Munich Security Conference and expected to meet with him? Did she say a while back, I'm not going to be meeting with any foreign heads of government? She wanted to kind of reset, probably because she realized she was in deep water and she couldn't swim. Ottawa police are launching an operation as of earlier today. They are now arresting some Freedom Convoy protesters to clear the city's downtown. And at least 2 Freedom Convoy organizers are facing charges. Others might be arrested. In fact, I'm checking. When I'm on the air with you, I'm constantly checking news sources to see if there's anything new that breaks it you need to know about. And the last I see regarding that, no, it's all still peaceful. There's been no violence among these truckers. They blocked some intersections and some bridges, and they blew their horns. Oh, my God, that's almost as bad as blowing up a car, right? Oh, police are also telling reporters, stay away from this area. Why? You don't want anything documented. Okay. But there is some video that shows Ottawa police making an arrest. Ex-Minnesota police officer Kim Potter for killing Dawnte Wright when she pulled her taser pulled her pistol instead of the taser when she's trying to keep him from driving away, harming an officer. Shot and killed him. She, very remorseful. Today the judge said she never intended to hurt anyone. That's the words of the judge. Her conduct cries out for a sentence significantly below the guidelines. She will serve 16 months behind bars. I think that's appropriate. I know there are going to be others out there say, what? There's a police officer killing a person again, a black man. Well, he was wanted on a felony charge, and he tried to drive away. If you just simply let them cuff him and not try to drive away, he'd probably still be alive. That'd be my bet. MLB says it's going to postpone the start of spring training games to no earlier than March 5. Chinese officials admitting the massive lockdowns because the coronavirus outbreaks are inflicting significant damage on the Chinese economy. Huh, how about that? Oh, and China is also reporting the number of new marriages dropping, so they're expecting the number of births to dramatically drop. I guess in China, they're actually obeying the so-called six-foot rule. Distancing. 6 feet. Which the CDC admitted we just made that number up.
For years, I've told you, be well with Wellington. Wellington Environmental. That's because I know the excellent work Wellington does when it comes to making your home, your business, even hospitals safe. See, recently I asked Wellington to check a relative's home. The relative had been constantly sick. Doctors couldn't find a cause. I asked Tom Wellington, please check the house. After extensive testing, Wellington could rule out mold and other air and water toxins. Well, that was a major relief, and the negative results gave doctors added information. So when I encourage you to call Wellington, I mean it. Wellington, 314-644-4930. 644-4930. A-rated by the Better Business Bureau, Missouri and Illinois. Wellington Environmental, 314-644-4930. Be well with Wellington. Wellington Environmental.
I want to thank my friends at John Bill Roofing for sponsoring this segment of Larry Connors USA. John Bill Roofing, covering homes, businesses throughout the Midwest with the best quality, lowest price. John Bill Roofing. Call 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
I'm picking up good vibrations. She's giving me the excitations. I'm picking up good vibrations. She's giving me the excitations.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
I intend to work my heart out to elect Democrats up and down the ticket this November.
So Hillary Clinton making a return to public life and politics, New York Democratic Convention late yesterday. Her first major speech ahead of this year's midterms, and she promised it will not be her last. Reince Priebus, former White House Chief of Staff to President Trump. Reince, what did you hear yesterday?
Well, I hear a candidate that hasn't done lately a self-awareness check. I mean, it's one of the first things you do. Hey, what are my weaknesses? What am I all about as a candidate? She is a person that does not have an accurate view of herself.
I applaud and agree with that, Reince Priebus. But there was Hillary speaking to a crowd saying that Republicans are to blame for everything, and I'm going to do everything. I'm going to be in there to fight these midterm elections. In other words, setting herself up to be a queen maker. Hillary has been, she's been jilted in so many different ways. And some are, you know, they're not good. I will admit that. I mean, like husband Bill Clinton while governor of Arkansas with his bimbo squad, as some have called them. He being the governor of the state of Arkansas, a lot of pretty young women around, and he apparently had quite a few affairs. Hillary apparently knew about some, maybe not all of them. The state police escorting Clinton around knew about some of them, maybe not all of them. And then, of course, we had the Monica Lewinsky affair, which we all learned about because of the stain on the dress, remember? And the DNA showed everything. But Bill Clinton was out there with Hillary by his side, despite all the past allegations, saying, I never had sex with that woman. Those of you watching at Larry Connors USA YouTube as we're live streaming, how'd you like that presentation? Did you see how I did it? Those who are not watching, I'm sorry you missed it. I'll try it one more time, give you a moment. If you miss it, you can pull it up later. We are live streaming all the programs now at Larry Connors USA YouTube. But Bill Clinton did do that with his staff around him and all of them still supporting him. And pointed his finger out and said, I did not have sex with that woman. Well, here's what happened after that. When we found out what kind of relationship they had, oral sex, well, then that suddenly gave boys, very young boys and girls, the right to say, nope, did not have sex, mommy, daddy. We didn't have any sex. Because apparently oral sex is not considered true sex. But Hillary got kind of hit hard on that. But she stayed with him. And I'm sure they made a pact. You owe me, Bill. You owe me big, big time because I stayed with you. So, time comes for her to run for election because Bill can't. He's termed out. And to his credit, or discredit, depending on how you want to look at it, Bill Clinton's out there trying to raise money for Hillary because he knows he's indebted to her. He even went to Senator Kennedy at the time, Ted Kennedy, who's not really a very good example of how to treat women, Chappaquiddick. Never mind. Anyway, he goes to Kennedy and talking about this Barack Obama guy. It was going to be Hillary's time, her coronation, until this young black freshman senator out of the state of Illinois from Chicago showed up and won the nation over. But when Bill Clinton went to talk to Kennedy about Barack Obama, he said, yeah, there'd been a time he'd be stepping and fetching, bringing us coffee. Kennedy didn't like that. And so he did not support Hillary. So she got jilted there. Obama didn't pick her up to be VP, but did give her a Secretary of State position, which became a very lucrative operation for Hillary Clinton and Bill Clinton. Setting up their foundation, raising all sorts of money from various countries, because all of them she would go to knew that she's Secretary of State now, she will be president, we want to get in good. That's why Russia, if you're looking for Russian collusion, was paying Bill Clinton $500,000 for the 15-minute speech, which he probably just made up on the spot. I can do that. And I'll do it. I won't charge $500,000. You can invite me. I promise you I won't charge you $500,000. $400,000 maybe or something. Maybe not quite that much. But there she was. And so when Rince Priebus says she doesn't really know who she is, she just doesn't know because she should have had all of this. And then this Trump guy comes along and blows her out of the water. Him and his deplorables. My God, the woman has been... I'm going to use a line that James Carville did. James Carville was the political advisor, one of the main ones for Bill Clinton while he was governor of Arkansas on how to run for the presidency. And all these women that were coming forward and claiming that... even as he was campaigning, and then later that he had sexually molested them, things of that nature. James Carville's the one who came up with the bimbo squad, called them that. He said, well, hell, you take a $5 bill and drag it through the trailer park and find out how many go after you. Hillary Clinton has been dragged through that park, and nobody wants her. Nobody wants her. Rince Priebus again.
She's a person who's trying to sell herself now as a unifier, when in fact, in 2008, she went toe-to-toe with Barack Obama. They gouged each other's eyes out until June. Obama became the nominee. Same thing in 2016 and Bernie Sanders all the way to May and June. She's a person who is very divisive. She divides her party. She independents didn't vote for her in 2016. And she'll divide again. The problem with here's the other thing, and then the last point. The problem with this unifier message that she's trying to sell is It actually doesn't even work in the media, in public, in politics. Unifying messages, unfortunately, are dead dog losers, and division is profit. So okay. She's trying to sell something that doesn't work, and she's not who she says she is.
She's not who she claims to be. That's true. And he's also right. That's why everybody said, oh, I wish there's some place just where we could get good news. When I was on a local TV station, I took that to heart, and I said, let's do, with all the mess that's going on, give me, maybe a 2.5-minute segment at least once a week, and we'll call it Good News Story. Well, some of the folks in the newsroom didn't think that'd be very smart. It wouldn't do anything. It turned people off, and actually it didn't. People liked hearing something good from time to time. But I will tell you this. If you're running a news operation and it's all good news, how many new seals were born at the zoo, how many kids got free ice cream today, and it's all nice and neat, and nobody will watch it unless it's their kid involved in it. It's a fact. It's a journalistic fact, and it's also a hack fact by those who claim to be journalists. So he's right. Unless you make something up and call out and you get nasty, trying to bring everybody together that you're going to talk about unity, that's we're not going to rally around that flag. Now you take the Trump flag, fly it upside down, and call his supporters deplorable, now you got traction because you got the mainstream media at that time, now state-controlled media, jumping in and saying, I'm in. I want to get in on this story. But here's Hillary again saying, I'm trying to bring everybody together. That's what I'm trying to do. But the Republicans, they're the nasty ones.
It should be clear to all of us that the struggle for unity and democracy is far from over. Republicans are defending coup plotters. They're curbing voting rights at precisely the moment when democracy needs champions. Democrats are fighting for the rule of law and for judges who follow it.
No, they're not. The rule of law, to begin with, like our immigration law says, you don't come into this country unless you're fully and properly vetted, documented, and you have a legal reason to come in. Who's opening the borders? Not the Republicans. By the way, there's a story I want to share with you before we wrap up today about some we brought back from Afghanistan. Remember, we were helping folks get out of Afghanistan. We told them that if you work with our troops and you helped our troops while we were there, we know you'll be targets of the Taliban the day we leave, so we will get you and your family out. Turns out that maybe we only got about 3 to 8% of those who were actually promised that, but we brought a lot of others in, and therein lies a problem. We'll get with that before we wrap up the hour. But Hillary said, we need a champion. That'd be me. No, it ain't Hillary. But I don't really care if she tries to run again. Let her. My God, let her. If there is going to be, and I'm not so sure Trump is the guy right now this time around, or let him be the kingmaker, but if there's going to be a Trump-Hillary rematch, I say bring it on. But this Democrat government has locked us down, constrained us, and that's what we're seeing happen in Canada now. That's why we had the Freedom Truckers Convoy in Canada. 90% of the truckers have been vaccinated. It's not that issue. The issue is more about freedom. Laura Trump, married to Trump's son Eric, made that very point.
This is a peaceful protest. This is how you do it. You don't burn down police precincts. You don't destroy courthouses and small businesses and ruin entire cities. This is a peaceful protest. And it sounds like their voices are being, we're prepared to hear them. And that's exactly what this is all about. And, you know, it started in Canada with these truckers, but I think they even knew this was far bigger than them, far bigger than Canada, and bigger than just the vaccine mandates. This is about the fact that for 2 years now, it feels like we are, have been under totalitarian rule in so many aspects of our lives.
And that's true. We have felt it here. They felt it there. And even those Democrats who were all for locking down, they're recognizing it too. Even them, they are saying, we need to get on with our lives. That's why they're lifting all the mandates and restrictions, except in schools so far. But that will happen. And they're not really lifting all the mandates and everything, just to help everybody get on with their lives. It's because we have midterm elections coming up. And they don't want to lose the control of the House they have. You do know that if Nancy Pelosi does, in fact, run again, she's indicated she will, and Republicans win the House, she will not be Speaker of the House. The party that wins selects a Speaker. I would imagine once she sees that happening, she will just decide to step aside. But what's happening in Canada and the threats, the force being used on them, they are moving trucks now. The tow truck operators covering their faces and their vehicles so they can't be identified and hunted down. There's been still no real violence. But what they're doing in Canada could ripple effect here in different ways. I'll explain in a moment.
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA.
We are broadening the scope of Canada's anti-money laundering and terrorist financing rules so that they cover crowdfunding platforms and the payment service providers they use. These changes cover all forms of transactions, including digital assets, such as cryptocurrencies. The illegal blockades have highlighted the fact that crowdfunding platforms and some of the payment service providers they use are not fully captured under the Proceeds of Crime and Terrorist Financing Act.
There you have it. That's what they're doing in Canada to get those truckers, those mean old truckers, and what they're doing. They're enacting terrorist laws against them. Let's go over this. They're using emergency powers, and according to the BBC, the Emergencies Act, passed in 1988, demands a high legal bar to be invoked. It may only be used in an urgent and critical situation that seriously endangers lives, health, or safety of Canadians. There's nothing the truckers are doing that comes anywhere near what we witnessed in that summer of Portland, Seattle, L.A., San Fran, and the other places, and still. And they're domestic terrorists, in my view. And we had domestic terrorists in this country, according to Attorney General Merrick Garland. He won't say it, but his actions have indicated it. That's parents who show up at school board meetings. So anyway, I'm looking again, and there's still no violence reported as some of these trucks are being hooked up to tow trucks where the drivers of the tow trucks are covering their identity and their names of their companies so they can't be chastised or in some way or another face retaliation later because they're acting on police orders to move the trucks. And this idea of this Emergencies Act, and yet there's been no violence whatsoever. You do know and you've heard that there's going to be a people's convoy heading to Washington. Now, the information about this is still developing. I have referred to it, I think, on my Facebook page as the American Freedom Convoy. It's officially called the People's Convoy, a trucker-led convoy, starting the 23rd of this month from Barstow area in California and head toward the D.C. area. And it's supposed to be nonpartisan, cross-cultural in nature. They're expecting at least 500 to 1,000 trucks to start. Now, I have posted at Larry Connors USA Facebook, Larry Connors USA Facebook, a schedule of some of these activities as they come through an area that maybe you now reside in and what's going to be happening. I have not had a chance to check out all the details to see if it's exactly correct, and it is subject to change. I got it from a listener who's very involved with this stuff, and I assume the listener got it from someone that he trusts and or believes it is fact, and I'm not saying it's not. I'm just saying I have not independently verified it. My daughter could have given me the copy of, with this, and I'd still say I have not independently verified it. So it's not a thing against the listener sending it in. I appreciate it. But I have not independently verified it. You can go to Larry Connors USA Facebook, Larry Connors USA Facebook, and you can check it out. It's on there right now, so you can take a look at the cities and the routes. Coming up, China. Watching what happens with Russia, Ukraine. Stand by.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Welcome back, and reminding you, we are live streaming Larry Connors USA at Larry Connors USA YouTube. Larry Connors USA YouTube channel. My guest, I'm so glad to have back again. He's an expert on China, and I really need his expertise here. Gordon G. Chang. In fact, you can also look him up and follow him on Twitter. I encourage you to do so at Gordon G. Chang. That's the Twitter handle, at Gordon G. Chang. Gordon, glad to have you back on board, sir.
Thank you so much, Larry. I really appreciate it.
Well, listen, I'm looking at an article you wrote for Newsweek titled "Deterring China, Mission Possible." Now, when you say that, yeah, we have to worry about China, but how are we going to handle them? And you're suggesting we can. You take off for a few moments here.
Yeah, we're a much stronger society than China when you look at the metrics. The only thing that we are don't have is political will. We have a political class that is either so compromised by China because of economic ties or just believes that we can't stand up to the Chinese. So, for instance, I think that the senior leadership in the Pentagon, both civilian and military, is very much got a defeatist attitude. But we're much stronger than China. And Beijing, I think, understands that. Their important initiative is really intimidation. And I think that what we need to do is to have an assessment of where we are.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Yeah, we can clearly protect Taiwan, we can protect our allies and friends, and we can protect ourselves. Then a lot of people say, oh, no, we can't.
All right, that's where I was going. You said the will. They're watching Biden. They saw what happened, how we left Afghanistan. They're watching the Russian-Ukraine situation. Biden's scheduled to speak in about 15 to 20 minutes on some of the latest in Russia and Ukraine. Does this administration have the will to deal with China properly?
I don't think that it does, or at least it doesn't have the correct mindset. Biden still believes that he needs China's cooperation on a number of his grand projects, including climate change and an Iran nuclear deal. So he is not inclined to show resolve toward China on a number of things. It's not that his policies are 100% horrible. They're not. Some of them are actually quite good, but they are insufficient across the board. And in some places, they are not very good at all. So, for instance, he's not curious at all about where COVID-19 came from. That's killed now about 930,000 Americans. You would think that he'd want to know how this disease got from China to the U.S. And the answer is China's leaders deliberately spread it because they lied about contagiousness and they pressured other countries to take arrivals from China without restrictions when they were locking down their own country.
And in fact, I had a report on a few moments ago that China's admitting their economy's been hard hit by COVID because of restrictions and so forth. So what is their economic picture at this time? Plus, there's a report that birth rates are probably going to be way down. How does that affect China and how we would have to deal with them, and does it lessen them as a threat in any way?
Well, if you were to look out long term, yes, it does lessen them as a threat because China has about 1.4 billion people now. But Chinese demographers are saying that the country will lose half its population in 45 years. That no country has ever gone through that in the absence of war or disease. And that really means that China has challenges. And it's not just that. It's got a stagnant economy, a debt crisis, worsening food shortages, and a depleted environment, and it can't control COVID-19. The problem, Larry, is although China is going through these crises, it makes it actually more dangerous because Chinese leaders, I think, are starting to see a closing window of opportunity, which means they can take us by surprise.
All right. So that brings us to Taiwan and the disputed islands. You're listening to Gordon G. Chang. You can follow him on Twitter at Gordon G. Chang, expert on China. China has to be watching how Biden is dealing with Russia, Ukraine, not for what really happens there, but how they can then use that, because they play a long game, don't they, as to what they can do with South China Sea and territories they want.
They play a long game, but they also play a lot shorter game, a lot shorter than we do. And that's a really complex topic, Larry. But we're seeing communist leaders, I think, make some very, very short-term decisions recently because I think they're in trouble and they know it. And so they are actually engaging in very risky behavior, which is creating an opposition to them and across the board. So I think that they're not being very smart about this.
All right.
I mean, if they were really long-term thinkers, they would be very nice to everybody while they got stronger and everybody got weaker. And then when everyone couldn't resist, then they would pounce. But they're pouncing prematurely, which shows you they're short-term thinkers.
Let me ask you then, with that in mind, Grant Newsom, who's with the Center for Security Policy, published a piece talking about countries go to war for many reasons, but to grab semiconductor plants would be a first. And he's talking about Taiwan as a global hub of semiconductor manufacturing, and some analysts arguing the principal reasons China would invade Taiwan would be to take the semiconductor industry. We already rely on China too much for chips. We know that. That's why car manufacturers can't get some cars operating. They don't have the chips to put in them, and we have already given so much intel to China. We basically have opened our doors to our universities, let them use what they want that they can use in any way they want. Your thoughts?
Yeah, a couple of things. First of all, we allow Confucius Institutes on our campuses and Confucius classrooms in our secondary schools, and we're not allowed reciprocal access to China, and we shouldn't be doing that. And we allow a lot of other activities on our soil that violate our sovereignty. And this is our fault, Larry. You know, the Chinese are villains, but we've allowed them to be villainous. We've allowed their diplomats and their Ministry of State Security agents to control Chinese students on our campuses. This is our fault. And this is a series of presidents that have allowed this to occur.
Now, you do know by your remarks, some will interpret it as you must be xenophobic. Well, you have Chinese ancestry. You're not talking about the people. You're talking about the government.
Yeah, it's the regime that is doing this. Remember also that China has a national security law, 2017, that requires every Chinese national to commit espionage on behalf of China if requested. And this is not racial. This is just there in black and white. Also, the Communist Party's top-down system means that no Chinese national can refuse a demand by the party. So we have got to get beyond this whole idea that this isn't a racial issue. This is a regime issue, and we've got to protect ourselves because we can lose our country. Because although China is a lot weaker than we are, we're not defending ourselves, and that means they can take us over. And they've made it very clear, Larry, their goal is to destroy the United States. So we have got to listen to what the regime in China is saying.
And
otherwise,
cyber,
we will lose our country.
And cybersecurity is a big part of that. Richard Berman, writing for the Washington Times, talking about how and we know our players going from the U.S. of A. to the Winter Beijing Olympics were told, leave your phones and your computers home, buy a burner phone, because they'll be spying on you constantly. You have no doubt that that's been happening, correct?
Yes, it's been happening, and it's been happening for decades. And here again, you know, the Chinese are trying to penetrate our networks, and that's criminal. But what is outrageous is that we've had a series of presidents going back to perhaps George H.W. Bush, maybe Clinton, if you could be charitable. And it's everyone since then, no exception, who have refused to take precautions to defend American networks. So China has continually penetrated our networks. So this is an issue. The American people should be mad at the Chinese, of course. But they should be even more angry at the people that they've elected to protect them, because they haven't protected us.
Well, in our last 30 seconds, your piece, and again, this is Gordon G. Chang. You can follow him on Twitter at Gordon G. Chang. Learn a lot of information that we don't have time to get to. Inside this article I am reading, though, that you was in Newsweek, you said China, and in the last 30 seconds here, China needs to believe Washington would consider an attack on Taiwan as an attack on the U.S. When you state that, that gives me the impression that maybe we don't at this point.
No, we don't consider that at all. We don't have a mutual defense treaty. We have the Taiwan Relations Act and the six assurances and the three communiques, but we do not have a firm commitment to defend Taiwan.
And one other thing you said, other moves that you're quoting the chair of the newly formed China Policy Institute, that key industries in Taiwan are vital supply chains. And we know where we stand on that. Gordon, as always, I appreciate your time, sir. You're an expert that we love having on. The audience loves hearing from you. We'll do it again.
Well, thank you so much, Larry. I really appreciate it and look forward to the next time.
I do too, sir. You often see him, folks, on major network programs. G. Gordon Chang. Coming up, labor shortage? No, there are a lot of men that could work. Why not?
Ever since I was a young boy, I played the silver ball. From Soho down to Brighton, I must have played them all. But I ain't seen nothing like him in any amusement hall. That deaf, dumb, blind kid sure plays a mean pinball.
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA.
So, of course, we know we're facing the highest inflation we've seen in 40 years. Unemployment had been a record high. It's getting a little bit better. In some cases, it's people that are still in the workforce, but they're leaving one job and going to another one that pays more or better benefits or something they can do from home, whatever their choice. That's what we're allowed to do in this country. So I'm looking at an article. See, I do the dirty work for you. You do know that. Mike Rowe goes out and does his stuff, gets in dirty with a bunch of people and down in the sewer line. I'll leave that dirty work to him. But my dirty work is to go follow and read stories written by leftist liberals and CNN and things like that, because I know you don't want to even open up the page. And I understand. I understand. Which, by the way, I'm looking at CNN right now, and there's no report of any violence as the police are moving in to get some of the trucks moved out of intersections and apparently some arrests being made. But believe me, if there were any videos to be seen, CNN will plaster it everywhere. Now, reporters have been warned to stay back or you could also be arrested. Well, that's where reporters, regardless of which company they work for, should be working together at that point, saying, no, we're here to cover, it's a public street, and it's not a disaster situation. But I'm reading a piece here written by a woman. There are some good women writers out there for various networks and publications. Her name is Anna Tappe. I hope I'm pronouncing it right. I'm not trying to mock it. Anenken, I think it's Anenken, A-N-N-E-K-E-N, and then the last name, Tappe, T-A-P-P-E. I could be off. I'm not trying to mock it. I'm giving you the best I have. But it's titled, Here's Why a Whole Group of Men is Being Overlooked in the Workforce. And I know I've discussed this with you before. I don't get it. I just don't get it. When you are standing out in the middle of a street at an intersection, holding out a sign, need food, need help, things of that nature, I seldom see a sign, will work for food. I've never seen those lately. So the other day, I get caught in one of these traffic lines. I got to wait for the light and wait for the light. And the guy gets to my door, and I roll down the window. So when I roll the window down, you think, oh, somebody will give me some money. Young-looking man, perfectly healthy. It's pretty cold. He walks over, and I said, you know you can go another mile and a half in either direction, and there are help wanted signs. You can get a job. You can get in out of the cold and actually earn some real money as opposed to standing here. And he mumbled some kind of reply. I couldn't make out what it is, but he continued walking the line. He did not want a job. Or is it because he falls in to what she's talking about? She says the work shortage we're having right now is the labor shortage is overlooking a group of workers, even though they could be part of the solution. Well, who's she talking about? She's talking about men in their 30s. And maybe a little bit over. But she's looking at a study from the research group RAND Corporation, just released. Says just over 1 million men between the ages of 24 and 35 are counted as unemployed. The biggest group of jobless males, according to the Bureau of Labor Statistics. And then she adds that by age 35, some 64% of unemployed men have been arrested. Maybe rightly, maybe wrongly, more than likely, rightly. About 46 have been convicted of a crime. Maybe correctly, maybe incorrectly, more than likely, correctly. That's my opinion, not hers. That's what I'm adding. She says nearly a third of American adults have been arrested at least once. And employers, according to the study, lead author for RAND said, need to understand the one big reason they can't find workers, they exclude those who've had any involvement with the criminal justice system. Some convictions might disqualify a candidate for a certain job. For example, someone convicted of violent crimes, not going to be allowed to drive a school bus. Convicted of sex crime, not going to be allowed to be with the children. So discrimination against those with criminal records isn't new. We all know that. She's pointing that out. And I don't know if the guy walking the line is among those or not. But I know there are a lot of jobs out there, they don't really care about that. Now, someone said, well, you had to have an address. Well, if you're living in a shelter, that's your address. If you don't have any place, I'm sure you could make one up. They're probably not going to bother. If they just need you to go out and chop some weeds down and do stuff like that or stock shelves, you're not anywhere near money. You're not anywhere where you're really going to hurt people if there's a concern about a past like that. But many of them are probably minor crimes. And I do say that if you paid your debts to society, you deserve another chance. That doesn't mean a full free chance as everyone else has. I don't buy this story. I think that's not the issue. That I think some of them just don't want to work, or they want to go back into the line of work that got them arrested and convicted in the beginning, which is not going to be good for the employer or the public. As always, thank you for listening. Let others know about this program, and remember our pledge, one nation under God.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.